They call me and they say the exact same thing that killed the first kid's on the second kid. Now, you want to ask me, how can that be? I said, all right, who's closest? I sent troops. Because we're always engaged. There's always war. If you're not at war, you need to look around and see whose camp you're sitting in. You need to see what fire you're warming yourself by. Because I have found out in this dead-raising war I'm in, this healing thing I'm in, this worldwide war of souls I'm in, it's always on. We've been engaged all day. Ms. Hogan, we've been praying all evening. There was a battle today. We won. Woo! It was quick. Thank you, God. All right. This kid says, I want Brother David. You know what? You don't get what you want. The quicker you learn that, the better off your life's going to flow with the Holy Ghost. Resign yourself to Jesus' will and let yours float. And your life will change dramatically. All right. I'm off in Guatemala. We have this massive thing, y'all. It's big. I have thousands of people. It's wonderful. It's whatever you think in your mind it could be, it is. I'm serious. We're in the middle of a revolution down in South Mexico, and both sides of the event, we're in churches, hundreds of them. It's wow, man, yes. Thousands of people saved. And so I'm down there doing this thing, and it's our biggest building. It's, I don't know, it's big. It seats about 7,000 or 8,000. It's huge. And it's the first service. I'm there to dedicate this thing. So I can't be back, right? I've got to be here. This is a big event. For us, it's the biggest thing we've ever done as far as how it's going right now. It will change. There'll be bigger ones. So, first service. The building is in, there's no way to describe this to you. I can't do it. You won't receive it. But in your lifetime, 1,000 miles from you to the south, there's 30,000 families have been displaced because of their faith in the name of Jesus. There's been 20,000 people put to death, and I bet you none of you know it. It's in your lifetime, and it's your neighbors. That's too bad you don't know. And we're in the middle of it, and that's a good place to be. I like fighting with those devils. They're exciting. So they told us we couldn't come there and preach. We walked into this thing. I almost told you the valley's name. Can't do that. It's not legal. It's probably taped. So this valley, and one man got born again. 5,000 armed men came out against him the day after he got born again. Drug him with ropes down, we'll call it downtown. Stood there and told it. Listen, one day old Christian, not even a full 24 hours yet. 5,000 armed men. Told him, you will deny this Jesus. And he turned, looked at him and said, I will not. That town where that happened, we now have a church of 5,000. That's a good deal, eh? The first service, this massive building that we got up, everybody laughed at us. Said it'd take 2 or 3 years to build. When the people have heart to work, it took 6 months. It's like 200 or 300 feet wide, 400 or 500 feet long. It's huge, big. It's like, I don't know, 2 or 3 stories tall. It's a big deal. In the first service, it was from the altar to the back door completely full. We didn't build it big enough. What a mistake. We've been doing that my whole life. So, Now watch. While we're off down there and the glory of God's happening, the Spirit of God fell on all these people and all these miracles, greatness, goodness, wonder is happening. While we're doing that, Christians go to this kid with the dying baby. Christians, look, you need to learn that your education is valuable. Christians talking. You know, you need to let us take you and the child, and you need to go and get some logical help. They took that kid and went to the hospital. Soon as they got him there, they abandoned him. They're Indians. You don't know what that means. That means there's nobody going to wait on you and take care of you. So they're up in this big old fancy hospital. They don't know what to do. Even though this boy's educated, he wasn't educated in this realm of life. But we don't do that much. Now listen to me. The doctors took this baby from him. Would not let him see him again. The baby goes into a coma as soon as they got stuck all those needles into him. I was called in the middle of one of these meetings, like right now if my phone rang, it was like it'd be like that, you see. And I was told all this, and I'm in the middle. Look, I can't leave. What can I do? But I can send to Calvary. So I had some more boys. I said, listen, this is what you're going to do. You are representing me and the Holy Ghost. So let me tell you what your options are. There aren't any. You walk as though Jesus is walking beside you. You walk into that hospital as though you got him by the hand and he is the King of Kings. And you walk in there and you get that baby. And you leave. But that wasn't all. Listen now. Another Christian family came to those kids. Listen to me, parents. You think sending your kids to church is the safest place. The most important person at the church is the devil. They come more than Christians do. And you thought it was safe. Safe is Jesus. Do you hear me? Safe is Jesus. Now, I want to tell you this. This is important. One of the families that's been with us for 20-something years come to these kids and said, look, this ain't going to work. This hospital deal ain't going to work. But when you get back, we're going to go to the grave site. And we're going to kill a certain chicken. It's called witchcraft. And we're going to take this blood, and this is how we're going to offer it up, and that devil will back off. Man, when I heard that, it's the fastest trip I've made from Guatemala. I'm serious. Oh, I got to have me some of that. Don't you understand? So this is what I told the pastor. We hadn't slept. We hadn't been off in 35 days. We've been running straight conferences for 35 days. Everybody was looking forward to a one-day recess. No, that's not what we did. I told those elders and those people in that village, I'm coming on this day at this time. Be ready. We went house to house. I said, I want me those witches. Let's find them. See, y'all don't do witch hunts. We do. And I want to tell you why. Because we went house to house and we knelt down all of these houses because all of a sudden there was an attack of mahuaquite serpientes. These mahuaquites are fertile ant snakes in our hemisphere. It's the most dreaded, feared creature. It's like the cobra in Africa. This thing has no remorse. You bite, you get bit, you die. Everybody. Everybody does. And there's lots of them. They would take this child and set it in a hammock. Come back later and there's a snake wrapped up in this thing. A mawakite. They would take this baby, the baby. It's the offspring. You have to understand there's a war coming. And your children are who's going to fight it. It's not us. What you think you're fighting now, and you think it's traumatic and dangerous, this is not the battle. It's coming to the next generation. Do you hear me? It's coming. We have to teach them the power of God. They have to know it, and we have to get them through these spells of energy from hell. That's what destiny's all about. That's why I have a job. So I walked house to house in this village and went down on my hands and knees in every house and asked God to take the curse off in Jesus' name. And when I got to those witches who called themselves Christians, this is what I told them. This is what God says to you. If you don't repent, you will be dead in the morning. Well, how do you know that would work? Oh, it's simple. That's happened 16 times. And I was right every time. It's a different gospel. It's not this milk down, watered down deal. This is the truth, the way, the life, and His name is Jesus. Are you listening to me? Hello? Do you want to know what happened to the beggar who's now king's son, grandson? Instantly healed. All the sightings of the Mawakitis are gone. Fire fell. People are getting born again. Dozens and dozens of houses are coming to the gospel. You hear me or you don't hear me? Are you listening to me or are you not listening to me? Jesus is the way. I didn't come here to try to frighten you. You're frightened enough. I'm offering you a way out of your fear. Jesus will help us. Do you understand that? Are you with me or not with me? All right. Let's take another step. You want to or not? All right. Let's go to another place here. It's over here in John 11. I'm almost finished. John 11. And I want you to look here in verse 25. This is Lazarus and Martha and Mary and that bunch. Verse 25. Jesus said to her, I myself am the resurrection. I myself, hallelujah, am the life. Whoever, you know who that includes? Me. Whoever believes and trusts in me. See, that's what I do. You understand? It doesn't matter the opposition. It matters the God of the person facing the opposition. All right? Now, this destiny thing is completely out of control. God just is amazing. I'm traipsing around the planet, you know, and messing around and get involved in all sorts of stuff, and I like it, by the way. And there are some famous, powerful people around that God wants to keep alive, that demons and principalities and governing spirits are trying to kill. The reason you need God in your life and need to trust God is so that He can provide destiny formats for you. Or that when you have trauma or stress, He can intersect your life with individuals in power that He's got ready, gifts that are there for you. And you need them. You're not just a wandering star trying to do your best. Oh, praise the Lord. The will of God be done. Oh, yes. All right, it will be done if we submit. It's not que sera, sera. It's what Jesus wants will be. It's whoever believes in Him. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection. He's the one that can take any situation and restore it to life. Regardless of its out, what it looks like, its outcome, what it's headed toward, He can change it. Now, have y'all heard of Mel Torrey? You know him? Like a mighty rushing wind? Over in Asia, you know, he's a great man of God. Man, oh wow, and it's wow and wow. All right, he's amazing. He truly is. All right, now. Just to be involved with men of that caliber and to be, let God track you and cross trails with people of value. And be ready. You know, you it seems like you make so many mistakes that, and you're bumping along like a marble on a pinball machine, it seems like. And something just every now and then, watch you, and you flow over here, and you pop over there. And that's what it seems like. But that is not what's going on. God is in charge. And He loves us. I hooked up with a group of people, Randy Clark, Bill Johnson, Heidi and Roland Baker, all sorts of important faces. And they're friends of mine, all these people. And I don't, you never know what God's going to do with you, right? You don't know when people's life is in stress, because people like myself are very quiet about problems. We preach faith. We preach life. We preach trusting God. We don't just go garbage canning you. There's enough of that as it is. We try to set examples and be a beacon, a lifesaver. You understand? Well, I knew that Brother Roland was in trouble. And that's all I knew. I knew he had had trouble, right? And I get invited to go to Mozambique. That's a good thing. If you get invited to go there and preach. It's wonderful. All right. So I did. So I went over there and we had a wonderful time. The first day I was there was a long day. Flew a million hours, got there, preached to all these massive people, and then was invited after all of this to go to their house, the baker's home, and have a meeting, a supper with, you know, Brother Randy was there. Ms. High. I mean, it's who wouldn't love to go there? Just sit and listen. Now listen to this. I didn't know that Brother Roland Baker, Brother Ms. Heidi's husband, had lost contact with the planet. Strokes, dementia, lots of things hit this man. Their work is awesome. They're doing, thousands of orphans. They got over a million converts. 7,000 churches. The list of greatness is long with them. And it's awesome. And they're good folks. All right. But they don't just go ahead and put it on the internet, hey, we're dying. Send who you may to help us. No. What they do is ask God for mercy. You see? And so, what he sent first was Brother Mel Torrey. Brother Mel goes there, gets him, takes him off to Germany to a place where people pray 24 hours a day for individuals. Put him in his camp. And the second person he sent was me. See, destiny. You got to understand destiny. People are valuable to God. And so He sends people along down the trail in your life. And you never know when these gifts are coming and what value and power they do have. So Ms. Baker's there, and I ask her point blank, where's Brother Rowan? Well, he had to go to Germany. And her answer to me was, we was looking forward to you getting here to pray for it. I missed him by 3 or 4 days because Brother Mel Torrey come, got him, brought him to Germany. It's complicated. What God does is amazing. How he moves things around in people is, wow, it's way above my league, we'll say. My pay grade. So, I'm there for 2 days. But the first night, I'm sitting there, and Brother Randy, he's a smart man. He said, I understand your wife was sick. Now, we're sitting there eating supper, and I just looked at him. I said, how'd you find that out? He said, well, I just heard. He said, tell me about it. Well, see Miss Heidi sitting there. I didn't know I was being set up. But this is just what you do. So I tell him the story about my wife and the 3-year ordeal and the battle and how close it got. And she almost died on us several times and incurable diseases and blah, 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 and on and the stress on the family, stress on the ministry, the whole deal. He says, so how did it go? I said, it went horrible. He said, how's it going now? I said, oh, it's going great. Because God healed her. There she is, healed. See? Now, Ms. Baker looks at me, you know, and she goes, it's getting late, you know, kind of like indifferent. And I looked at her. I said, so, your husband's in a bind, huh? She said, yeah. But that was it. People of faith just don't blurt it out. We do what you call have faith. She said, this story about your wife, how long ago was that? 20 years ago? I said, no, ma'am. My wife actually got healed last month. And then tears. She just broke. And you know, when you're dealing with kings and priests, you need to have the Holy Ghost. When you're dealing with beggars, you need to have the Holy Ghost. So the next morning we got on an airplane at 6 o'clock in the morning. We flew out yonder to the what she calls the bush. And we went 2 hours out and then got in the thing, went on out some more. And we had this great time, blah, blah, blah. But on the third day, I always get up early. I apologize to y'all about that. And I'm the first one, if we're in camp together, I'm the one you're going to hear annoying you and not letting you sleep because I'm speaking in tongues. I'm the guy that wakes the rooster up to get you up. It's true. And she comes there and she says to me, now watch this. Brother David, you going back to Germany as soon as you leave here? Yes, ma'am, I am. I have some more conferences in Europe. Would you pray for my husband? I said, it'd be a pleasure. Now listen, you never know when you're saying yes, because the answer is yes. You hear me? What did I tell you when you asked me? That's the answer. This is what we do. I said, but you're going to have to work it out. I said, because he is an important man. And if Brother Mel Torres protected him, I won't be able to get to him. It don't matter your rank. If another general has a hold of somebody, you're not getting in. You might as well listen to me. I know this stuff. I am a champion. She said, I'll work it out. I said, done. See how easy it is? So we finished the trip and get back over to Europe and met Ms. Hogan. She flew over, and there we're having this big deal in Europe and France and Spain and in Austria and Switzerland. Just, oh man, it's awesome, man. God's moving. And then it was brought back up to my attention that I was supposed to get a hold of Brother Roland. So I called him up over there in West Germany, and I said, hey, I need y'all to come out to the conference. You cannot get a hold of him. And this is his PA, his personal assistant. No, it's not going to happen. I said, we'll see about that. Like I said, wives and mamas and grandmas are fierce. Don't mess with them. if you got any sense, I mean. So, are y'all bored? Oh, okay, all right. Because this destiny thing is serious. I went to the pastor where I was. We was having this big conference, this big old fancy fun deal. I said, look here, do you know the Bakers? He said, I do. I've been trying to get them in our place here. I said, well, I know how to do that. But I'm going to need your help. I need some runners. I need some vehicles. He said, our entire ministry is yours. Run it as you see fit. I said, that's a good idea. I said, let me tell you why. Because this is destiny. I have figured out what God's up to now. He wants these stars to bump. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to work it out so it'll happen. I called Mozambique. I said, I'm having just a slight bit of trouble getting this past the Senate. I need a little bitty push from a higher power. All of a sudden, my phone rang. Brother David, excuse me, we'll be right there. You know, that's a great idea. I thought that'd work out for you. Now listen to me. This man, dementia, strokes, under doctor's care, 24-hour-a-day prayer, fascinating dilemma. I said, the guy that went and got him is in line in the monarchy of Germany. I didn't even know he was a prince. He serves the church. The church, by the way, is built on the railroad tracks that used to take the Jews. It's built on the tracks. You listening? So then, things got better and better and better. Started working out for us and working out for us. And then I walk into church that night and Brother Roland was there. Now listen to this. I'm talking about a man who has dementia, a man who has had several strokes, who has lost control. He don't even know who Ms. Heidi is. I walk in and I'm looking at him. And all of a sudden, he recognized me. Now see, when you're moving in the Holy Ghost and God's ready to do something, you have to work it out. You hear me? Destiny works with us. In faith. He says to me, Brother David. And I looked at him. I'm thinking, how can he remember me? He said, where's your boots? Because I always have boots. And I didn't have none on that night. I was wearing hiking things. He walks over there, gives me a big hug. He said, I understand you've invited me here. We're going to preach. I said, yes, sir, we are. I said, you can help yourself. You can preach all night if you'd like. Because they gave me control of the microphone, so you can have it. This man gets up there. You should have heard him preach the gospel. First time ever in 2 years. Not only did God heal him and bring him back, but he's now back in the work in Mozambique and the family's put back together. If you're going to walk in the gospel, you need to walk in faith and destiny. You need to walk in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You can never bend except to the will of God. Did you hear me? Do you hear me? One of the great things I saw while I was there in Africa, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, fella. Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes, that's me. I believe. Whoever, that's me. I'm there. I get bored easily. I'm bored now. That's why I asked you a while ago if you was bored, because I'm bored. I'm tired of talking. I'm serious, I'm ready to do something else. More exciting thing. Miss Heidi comes there and she says to me, are you bored? I said, I am bored. We've been preached 3 times already that day. She said, well, let's go and see if we can find some witchcraft altars to burn. I said, oh, thank you, God. So we take off through this village and it's dangerous. It's really dangerous. The last time they was there, they almost killed everybody. And so we're going. The very first person we found was this like 7 million-year-old woman. And And, you know, everything that can be wrong with a human body was wrong with this lady. Blind, deaf, lame, sicknesses just everywhere hanging off of her. And Miss Heidi just goes straight up to her and just starts hugging her and kissing her. And I'm just sitting there looking at her. Lord, woman, don't you see that she's got like a million diseases? And she turns around and says to me, pray for her. I said, all right. Jesus' name. And right in front of my eyes, this blind, deaf, sick, lame person just stands up, eyes pop, bang, boom, and says, thank you for coming to my village. Completely healed. And I'm going, now that was impressive. Now this right here is what, I'm liking this. So we go to another house. These are houses none of us know. This is our first time to see these people. And you walk in, and Miss Heidi comes there, and she tells me, now we've got a dilemma here, because we've got a sick girl. She's 14 years old. She'd been sick for 2 years. It ended up, she had this cerebral malaria is the name of it. All right, it's dangerous to kill everybody. So, it will. It's dangerous. So we go in this hut, and we've had all these people healed, and I'm blessed, and I'm looking at this person. Now, this girl hasn't. She's all twisted up, and she's been broke for 2 years. But for 2 months, she hadn't got off that bed. She hadn't gone to the toilet. She hadn't eaten. She hadn't drank. She hadn't slept. She hadn't talked. She hadn't done anything for 2 months. You know, I don't know what you know about humans, but that's not legal. There's a spirit involved. That's not possible for a human body to do. All right, so we pray for her, you know, and I'm sitting there, I back up, because Miss Heidi is amazing. I'm just lit. I like it, you know. And so we pray for her, I back up and do this, and nothing happens. And every one of us, see, when you're around people of victory, defeat ain't legal. Do you understand that? Did you hear me? All right. So we all recognize it when they're, because from, even though we were there and knew all the diseases and all the problems and all the things that's going on, we expected Jesus' name for it to be a change. And when it wasn't a change, to us, it's unusual. Do you hear? The different mentality thing. All right. And so we're sitting there. And so Ms. Heidi's PA, she looks over to us. She says, it's witchcraft. Oh, well, that's unleashing two pit bulls. Witchcraft. Orderly. We can do this. I'm all right with that. This I knew no about. And so Miss Heidi's just like, I mean, she is wild. She's went over there and just got on this family, you know, talking their language, blah, 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 blah. So she turns around and said, they're not going to repent. I said, then that baby will die. And the blood of this child is on their hands, not ours. We have done, God has brought us from corners of the earth to this hut to deliver this girl, and you're going to balk when God says yes? You are loony birds, boy. Something is up your tree that's wrong, honey. And it ain't no coon. That dog right there won't hunt, boy. I'm serious. Something's wrong with that. What's wrong with your goofiness? Lord have mercy. More than a screw loose here, boy. So, and I mean that. Somebody going to jail. I don't like that, man. When people sit right there, God has gone out of his way to provide a dilemma fix. And you're going to say, I think I'll live with my dilemma, thank you. do that. You are. That's what you are. All right. So now watch this. Husbands, some of y'all are this type. I'm not one, but some of y'all are. He goes, it's the woman. That's exactly what he said. He said, it's the woman. And I go, God, what is that, coward? What is that? Oh, I don't like cowards. I just don't. Blah. And I don't figure I should. So there you go. Now, so all the attention went to the mama. Now, you know, ladies, you don't like that kind of stress. Y'all don't like all that attention and somebody putting that kind of pressure on you, especially unexpected. So that's why I, as much as I can, I try to keep my wife, what y'all call, in the loop. So, we're on this lady. So Miss Heidi said, look, we're going to go out here and we're going to find your witchcraft altar and we're chopping it down and we're burning it. That lady said, oh, but no, you're not. She said, well, then that baby's going to die and it's going to be your fault. And then that kind of registered a little bit with her. She said, all right, but I'm telling you this, I'm not sure you're right. We're right. We don't care if you believe it or not. Just give us an axe. So they come up with these machetes and axes. You ought to have seen me and Miss Heidi out yonder whacking on that altar. Wow! Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We broke that stuff all to pieces. Pastors was gathering up firewood. And we lit ourselves a fire. And we chunked all that devil garbage right on the fire and burned it up and just was singing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Soon as it burned, I looked at Mama and I said, comida. Necesito comida. I need some food. Not for me, but a girl in there. She said, now listen, after all of this, still sticking to the dilemma. Listen, y'all got to come off this dilemma deal. Get into destiny. Amen. God loves you. I said, you go get me some food, and you go get it now. So she goes in the thing, brings this stuff. I don't know what it was. I haven't got a clue. We go back in there with the girl. She's still like this. And so all of a sudden she goes. She sits up. First time, 2 months. Starts eating. Gobble, 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 gobble. Miss Heidi takes one of her water things. Stands up first time in 2 months. Starts walking. And I'm just bug-eyed now. Starts walking, walks right by me, looks at me in perfect English. Jesus. I said, you got it! You are so right! So the whole slew of them got born again. The little girl's healed. Now watch. And all the neighbors were out watching this. We went house to house with axes and machetes, tearing down all the witchcraft, and every one of them got saved and healed. What? You hear me? The Word of God is alive and powerful. It's wonderful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. There is no enemy that can defeat it. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am myself the resurrection. Now there may be some of you, there's stacks of stuff up here. You know, you're believing for miracles and it don't matter where I go. People need help. You're sitting there, you look good, most of you smell good. But you need help. You need God to intervene in your life, into your kids, into your grandkids, into your finances, into your marriage, into your job site. And you're not going to get it by believing in the dilemma. You get it by believing in the destiny of the Holy Ghost. Because God will let you go and bump stars and heal people and bless people and let energy go. But you have to let Him take you. I'm a human just as you are. It's just as difficult for me to do as it is for you. But I'm telling all of us, it's possible. It's possible. There's so much good. I was over there. I had trouble in France. I'm sorry, but I did. It wasn't the wine and cheese, nor the bread, the baguettes. It was something else, I can't say. But I had trouble. And so I thought, I'll never be back to France. It ain't going to happen. But I get this email from this pastor. And you know what? We have lost France. I don't know if you're aware of it. You're so worried about your little world in the dilemma, and it has so much power over you, you're not watching. We're losing nations to the demon. We've got to get them back. Just because we can. That's the only reason. There's no other. Did God speak to you? Yeah. It's a matter of fact. He did. He told me I could. So I will. So I go over there fully well expecting another dilemma with the French. And what I got into was an amazing power. God's trying to get France back. He ain't gonna let it go. So we're going to go ahead and take it back. Nations are subdued by faith. I was invited to this conference. I went and we had I always have fun, personally. Regardless of everybody else. But me, I have fun. So there you have it. Now, this guy says to me, there's this council been put together, Brother David, and they've asked me to approach you because you seem volatile. I said, no. You're wrong. I don't seem volatile. I am volatile. My wife, if she was here, would tell you, I don't have a short fuse. I don't have a fuse. Consider the bomb blown, and you'll do fine. So, now listen to me. One reason or another, lots of reasons and other ones. There's only 2,000 pastors left in all of France. It's gone. Without a Holy Ghost intervention, the nation will be completely given over to atheism, or whatever you call it. What do you call it? Atheist? But I don't want the ism part. How do you say it, Miss Hogan? Help me. Atheism. What'd y'all say?
Atheism.
That's right. That don't sound right. That's great. We made a new word. I'm good with that. I can speak lots of languages, but English is my weakest. All right, so these atheists have decided they can have anything they want. But I've decided they can't have France. How can one human being, an American, come from a swamp that lives in the mountains with Indians, decide how a nation turns out? It's simple. It's called the resurrection and the life. His name is Jesus. There's a conference. I need y'all's prayers on March the 10th this year, or 10th, 2010. It's in Grenoble, France, right in the foothills of the French Alps. I will go skiing. Oh, yes. In Jesus' name, I will anyway. But they're bringing 1,000 of these 2,000 pastors together. And they, listen to this. Listen to the favor of God. Destiny. Provision of the Holy Ghost. You can name it whatever you want to call it. Out of all the ministries that be, they chose us. Son, I asked the guy, do you understand what you're getting? I said, because I'm not going to back down from this stuff. We're going to take France back. If I'm getting the opportunity to organize an army to take over France, I'm going to use it. He said, be our guest. I said, I will, thank you. Do you hear me? God wants you to take nations. God wants you to heal the sick. God wants you to destroy the work of the devil. God wants you to walk in resurrection power. God wants you to do great feats. What does it say? I believe it's Daniel, 11:31 or something. The people of God will be strong and do exploits. I think I'll have me some of that. Thank you, Mr. Daniel. Do y'all listening to me? Do you hear me? Your dilemma is real. It is valid. It is a problem. But it cannot run your life. Jesus and destiny and God